The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Podcast, if you missed any of the show, already Raj was saying that. Like, how could they miss? Raj, why am I right off the top of the show? I've been on vacation for a week. How could they miss any of the show? The first word? Unless they were listening after the first 2 seconds, they couldn't have missed anything.
No, it's for later. It's if they're listening now and they have to go in and get like some soda pop or something.
Okay, so then if you miss any, then it wouldn't be in the past tense. Listen, I'll get to the finals, UFC 264, and the latest from Aaron Rodgers today. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. First, it's time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
Loads toward the basket and stuffs with two hands. They can't stop Giannis tonight.
And goes for 41 points, his second straight 40-point finals
game. I'm not Michael Jordan. You know, all I care about right now is getting one more. That's all.
Giannis was great, and he needed to be great, and he was great. This was the biggest game of his career by far. And the Bucks win game three. Let me tell you the story, because this is how we remember all this stuff. We tell the stories, right? So Giannis Antetokounmpo won back-to-back MVPs, was one of only three players in history, along with Hakeem Olajuwon and Michael Jordan, to win MVP and Defensive Player of the Year in the same season, right? And by the way, he just had another season right in line with his two MVP seasons. There was Giannis fatigue, so they gave the award to someone else. Jokic got it. He deserved it, but he got it. Giannis could have won it again if people didn't already. I think there was fatigue, and also they were suspicious that Giannis would have another postseason collapse. Like, imagine if Giannis had won a championship and just did what he did this year. Maybe he wins another MVP. He's a great player in the regular season, but he hasn't won a championship. He hasn't even been to a finals. He wasn't even in a conference finals, in spite of being on a 60-win level team, right? Now imagine, like, these playoffs. Like, what if Chris Paul in game six fell flat and the Suns lost in seven games? And it's like, Chris Paul, really? Even with everyone hurt, Kawhi and AD, and you look in the Eastern Conference, the Nets, everything, you couldn't even get to a finals. No wonder your teams keep collapsing up 3-1, right? It was a huge legacy game for Chris Paul. Chris Paul played out of his mind and led his team to the finals and then led him to a 2-0 lead. And Giannis is down 0-2. Now it's Giannis's turn. Wait, Giannis, you're down 0-2. You're never going to have an easier path to the title than this, ever. Who the Bucks? The Bucks didn't have to play the Nets, not really. The Nets with no Kyrie or James Harden, really. They didn't have to play a fully loaded Lakers team in the finals. They got a team that's also lucky to be there. Suns would never be in the finals right now if the Lakers were healthy or if the Clippers were healthy. So Giannis, you're going to go get swept? Because if they lose game three, it's a good chance to get swept. Certainly, they're almost sure to lose the finals. You know how bad that would be for Giannis? Now think about this. Let me, just like Chris Paul. Chris Paul missed a couple games to start the Western Conference Finals. His team jumped out to a 2-0 lead. Then he comes back, slows up the offense. They start losing. Could you imagine how bad that would be? But he didn't. He did not. He flipped the script. He had a great game, and here we are, Chris Paul's in the finals. Same thing with Giannis in these finals. Wait a minute, Giannis. You hyperextend your knee. Game four of the Eastern Conference Finals. You're lucky to be there, because clearly if the Nets were healthy, you guys would have been humiliated in that series. You're being humiliated when they weren't even healthy. They got even less healthy. It's the only reason you're here. And you hyperextend your knee, and that's when your team gets over the hump. That's when they get to the finals. And then you mess around and go down 0-3. Ooh, it would have been so bad. But that's not what happened. Giannis played out of his mind. See, I think there's a tendency to feel that sometimes when people in the media get on certain players, you have some anti-such-and-such bias. Or anti-bias negates itself. Like a bias against me saying, give me Iguodala. But I'm really pointing out at the time anyway. It was true at the time. Steph Curry choked in those situations. If I pointed it out about James Harden, I'm just telling you the truth. I didn't play. The reason I have this job is because I'll tell you the truth. You know, at least as I see it. Even if it's unpopular. So it's not like I'm looking to take shots at Giannis, but the way I just set up that story for Chris Paul and for Giannis, that's the truth. Whether people like it or not, oh, you can't just reduce it to one game. Like hell I can't. Yes, I can. Because that's the story. What, did none of these moments matter, no matter how high leverage? The reason they're high leverage. They're pivotal points in the story that will tell you whether you win or lose. If Beowulf doesn't slay the monster, it's not Beowulf, right? If David doesn't beat Goliath, then there's no story of David and Goliath. If Michael Jordan doesn't win when it matters most, if he doesn't hit those clutch shots, he's not quite Michael Jordan. If Muhammad Ali doesn't beat George Foreman, he's a great fighter and everything, and it's an interesting story, but it's not Muhammad Ali. Yes, what matters in the highest leverage moments, even if there's like more, there's much more evidence in other moments, they don't matter as much, and it changes the story. But I'm happy to sit here and say today that Chris Paul came through in the biggest way in Game 6. And Giannis came through in the biggest way in Game 3 of the Finals. And Game 2, they wasted the 40 points in Game 2. But he came through in the biggest way, and they didn't waste that in Game 3. See, if there's no threat of it being a stain on their legacy, then it doesn't mean as much when they come through. It is a zero-sum game. It is the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. And it would have been the agony of defeat. And those marks against Giannis would have mattered in fact and would have been told in his story, and they should be told in his story if that's what happened, but it didn't. What happened instead, the story that will instead be told, and why these stakes really matter, there's great risk and great reward, is that he went for 41-13-6 when his team needed it most. And they won, and ladies and gentlemen, we have a series. And he's the first player, since we've been counting these things, other than Shaq. He joined Shaq as one of only two players to go for 40 and 10 boards plus in two consecutive finals games. What have I been saying about Giannis all along? He's a great big. He's a great big. Great bigs need crime partners. Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton don't count. Because, like, Penny Hardaway wasn't even good enough for Shaq. He needed a prime Kobe Bryant and a prime Dwayne Wade. In their primes, and they were better than Penny, as great as Penny was. That's what it takes. You need a dude on your level if you're a great big, who can get you the ball, who can create his own shot, and create shots for others. That's what Kareem had in Oscar Robertson and Magic Johnson. That's why he won 6 with them, 0 with anyone else. That's what Shaq had in Kobe and D-Wade. That's why he won 4 with them, 0 with anyone else. Giannis doesn't have guys on that level. But when they show up, the guys he does have, when they elevate their level, I thought Dr. Andre Snellings, here on this program a couple weeks ago, made a very good point, or last Monday, made a very good point about Chris Middleton. I said he's usually good, sometimes excellent. That's why he's usually not an all-star, sometimes he is. He's not a perennial all-star level player. And Dr. Dre said, no. I don't agree with that. He said, and I agree with him, it changed my thinking on Middleton a little. It's not that he's usually good and sometimes excellent. It's that sometimes he's not that good, and sometimes he's great. Sometimes he's like, it's an MVP. And when great Middleton shows up, now Giannis has a crime partner. And when he doesn't, he don't. But he went for 40 and 10 plus in game 2. They lost. And in game 3, a monster. By the way, 41-13-6, if you look at the last three or four seasons, Giannis is averaging 13 boards and 6 assists, give or take, with a block. And about 30 points. That's actually a typical Giannis game, other than he scored about 25% more than he normally does. So it's like a good Giannis game, but actually kind of in line with what he does normally. And when you're as great as Giannis, that's all you got to do in the playoffs. At least be yourself. If you elevate, great, but at least don't come down off your level of production. Now, he was terrific, and let's not forget, this is one series after a hyperextended knee took him out for the end of the Eastern Conference Finals. And he's doing this in the finals? You know, there's a reason that Shaq called Giannis Superman. He said he could have the Superman. He wouldn't let Dwight take that name, right? But he said, yeah, Giannis can have it. And there's a tendency with those bigs to think, yeah, but they're not as good, especially in the modern game or postmodern game or whatever you want to call this era. They're not as good as like the ball handler, right? Because the ball handler can be the closer. And when you really need a bucket, he can get you the bucket. I'll just remind people, Shaq was not the closer on the Lakers. Kobe was. But Shaq won all three MVPs when they in the three finals they won together, Shaq and Kobe. Because Shaq will even put you in the position to close. And that's what Giannis is. Giannis is a guy who will put you in a position where if his crime partner can come through when it matters most at the end of the game, the team can win. And if his crime partner can't, his team will lose. He had teammates who helped him yesterday, and that's why the Bucks won. Now, we can get into Saric's injury and the fact that they're thin up front now. And the fact that when Giannis is aggressive, if DeAndre Ayton winds up in foul trouble, the Suns are really at a size disadvantage. And that also helps Milwaukee. And that's true. Matchups matter. But I'm looking at this series going forward, and I'm still picking the Suns to win. They're up 2-1. They still have home court. I'm looking at DeAndre Ayton. DeAndre Ayton's been great throughout these playoffs. He's matched up great with other bigs, with AD, although AD was hurt, but still. With Jokic. Now let's see what he can do with Giannis. I know Brook Lopez, but Giannis is really the guy. What's he going to do with Giannis? And what's Giannis going to do with him? 888-SAY-ESPN 729-3776. Here is Tim Legler on the pieces around Giannis.
Chris Middleton got off in the first half. It was critical that he do that. Giannis, you know, had another great game, put up big numbers, had a good first half. But to see his co-star alongside of him rolling and in rhythm gave the Bucks a tremendous boost. Bobby Portis was great off the bench. I always talk about where's this supplemental unexpected offense going to come from. You don't know in a given night, but somebody usually gives it to you in a playoff win. Right. Bobby Portis was huge in the first half. Then you go now to the second half. DeAndre Ayton picks up his fourth foul.
That was Tim Legler talking to SVP on SportsCenter. Yeah, that's what I've been saying. Giannis gets a little help. Now, the Bucks have a nice starting five, you know. Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton and Giannis and I guess P.J. Tucker and Lopez, right? They're five best players. The Suns have a better starting five. Chris Paul and Devin Booker and Mikal Bridges and Jay Crowder and DeAndre Ayton's a better starting five. And by the way, Monty Williams is playing those guys like 40 minutes apiece. smart. Do they have the depth to hold Milwaukee off? That was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Here to help explain it all to me. The great Kenny Smith, ladies and gentlemen. The TNT NBA analyst on the Goodyear Hotline. Best TV show of all time. Kenny, what's going on, man?
I don't know if I can explain it all to you, but I'll try my best.
So, Kenny, I look at Giannis, the back-to-back games he has, and what I'm trying to say about these moments is people bristle. Like, NBA guys, they really hate it when talking heads like me reduce a guy's career down to a few moments. But, Kenny, I'm here to argue, but that's fair. Like, those big moments matter. If Chris Paul would have folded in Game 6 and then they would have lost Game 7, it's like, damn, CP3, even when AD is hurt and this one's hurt and that one's hurt, and it's a zero-sum game. That's bad. That counts against you. But because he came up huge, that really changes the legacy, right? And the same thing with Giannis is what I'm arguing. Because, Kenny, He was absent when they won the Eastern Conference Finals with a hyperextended knee. If he then comes back and they get swept, what's the story going to be? But instead, he showed up big time in consecutive games. And I think that really changes the way, at least at the moment, I'm thinking about Giannis. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I would say that has some accuracy to it, Max. But I also would say this, that great players are going to have enough great moments. So, and if we're not looking at what they've done in the past or what they've already or what they could do in the future, then we're shortchanging them. And I think that's from a player perspective, they go, wait, you're judging me on my, like, okay, if we're judging Devin Booker on this NBA Finals,
right? Right.
Wait a minute, like, the guy's in his fourth year. So we have to take totality of what he could be, what he has done as well. So. Yes, but this is big for Giannis. Without getting to the NBA Finals, finally, That team has been, you know, underachieving.
Right. Kenny, I totally agree with what you're saying, which is why, like, Giannis is not in the same boat as Chris Paul. But, like, let's take Chris Paul. If he'd have had a couple of bad games, even if you want to say, boy, that's just the wrong time for him to have bad games. He's had so many good games. I'd have been like, wait a minute, hold on. Too many times his team is up in playoff series and they collapse. Even in this series, they go up 2-0 without him. He comes back and then they collapse. That would have been really bad. And I would have been banging the drum about that, not because I want to, just because I believe it's true. But that's not what actually happened. And I'm using CP3 because he's much later in his career, right? There's more that's happened than there's going to happen. But, Kenny, the fact that he came through the way he did is huge.
For Chris, it would have been, you know, not being able to stay healthy in the biggest moment of his career. Yeah. Because, honestly, if the Rockets would – he stayed healthy with the Rockets, they probably would have gone to the finals that year.
I agree.
Yeah, and so – but he's always had gotten hurt in the key moments. So do we question, is it him or is it just bad luck?
Mm-hmm.
Well, wait a minute. But after a while, like, it's only happening to you. It's not happening to every other player. So I think that there is some validity, but if you look at it as a flashlight, Max, you're 100% right. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we got to put the floodlight on too, you know, we're going to look at everything of it.
Well, I mean, like, I'll take the team that you won championships with, the Rockets, right? I reduced it to something like this. Michael Jordan, my late great brother Sam used to talk about this. When Jordan retired, he was like, okay, we're in a parallel universe now. We're going to find out who the best player in the game is in Jordan's absence. Is it Malone? Is it this one? Is it that one? Looked to me like it was Hakeem. And yes, I base that because on the fact that you guys won back-to-back, and he was the best player. And when it mattered most, he played huge. And I thought that was huge for him. Here we are in a kind of similar situation. Everyone got hurt this year, right? So you didn't have to worry about Brooklyn, who was killing them until they got hurt. You didn't have to worry about the Lakers, who was up on the Suns until AD goes down. And so now we're finding out sort of in a parallel universe, okay, who is, like, who wants it the most? Is it the old man CP3? Who will shine in this moment? The old man CP3, who's finally got a squad around him and is healthy? Or is it the young buck, so to speak, Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is getting some help from his supporting cast now? Is that an oversimplification?
I would say that the two best teams in the NBA this year are there. And I say that because of this. Every team that we've mentioned had injury. But so have the Bucks, and so have the Suns. With Chris Paul's missed key games in these series and through their run, and so has Giannis. And they've both been able to sustain that and allow those guys to get back. No other team did that. No other team was capable of playing well enough to get our guys back. So, for me, the two best teams are in the NBA Finals.
Teams.
Because of
emphasis,
that.
Emphasis team, you mean.
But without question. Now, you know, now who's the best player in the world? You know, that's always debatable. But Giannis has always proven that he's going to be in the top three conversation with that.
Right.
And so, for me, he is showing that he's going to have the best team. Because the best players don't always have the best teams in this league. And even Michael didn't always have the best teams. He was getting beat by the Detroit Pistons, the Boston Celtics, and all those teams. And now all of a sudden, he did. Shaq, you know, didn't always win it every year. Kobe didn't win it every year. Best players, yeah. But to me, to have the best team and the two best teams who are able to sustain everything through all the adversity are playing now.
Right, right. The top-heavy teams like the Nets – could not sustain injuries to some of their best players, but the more well-rounded teams maybe, like the Suns and the Bucks, could. Kenny, what are you doing with Hotels.com?
Oh, man, having a great time. You know, all the time we always congratulate the winner?
Yeah.
Well, with Hotels.com, we're going to console the loser. So whoever's the losing fan, if you go to Hotels.com/no-trophy-case and you post a video of you being upset of whatever team you're rooting for loses, we're going to give you a two-night stay in New York City, suite with a window to floor, floor-to-ceiling window view, and we're going to give you $1,000 in room service charges, and I'm going to give you a good morning pep talk, and you get to console yourself if your team loses. Obviously, it's going to be a Phoenix Suns fan or a Milwaukee Bucks fan, but we don't. You can't obviously submit your video until it's over.
So wait, where do you submit it again?
The winner.
Where do you submit it again?
You're ready for it. Hotels.com/no-trophy-case.
No trophy case. Got it.
There's no trophy case. And you submit the video, and we're gonna console the loser this time instead of congratulating the winner all the time.
Kenny,
I've been on the other end of it. I know how it feels.
Kenny, I love watching you guys. It's my favorite TV. I think you guys have replaced the old Batman with Adam West as my favorite TV show of all time. Keep doing it, brother. Thanks for coming on.
All right, man. Enjoy it. All right.
The great Kenny Smith, ladies and gentlemen. The Jet. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. So Conor McGregor lost UFC 264. But did he lose more than the fight? It's time for some straight talk. We've all been there. You have some real work to do, but the free Wi-Fi where you're working isn't going to cut it. It's like leaving the winning runner stranded on third base. Not good. Well, you can be your own hotspot now with Straight Talk's Ultimate Unlimited plan. Get 10 gigs of hotspot data for just $55 a month, all on America's largest, most dependable networks. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise, compatible device required. See Straight Talk. Let me say that again. See straighttalk.com. Not even for details, just see straighttalk.com. Look at that.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Say ESPN. 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17. Brought to you by Chase. Dustin Poirier won his trilogy, the rubber match, against Conor McGregor. Stopping Conor. It looked like it was going to be a TKO, right? Except it's going to be a stoppage. And then Conor was sure to shout out, "Doctor Stoppage! Doctor Stoppage!" After he hurt his leg, his bone snapped in the first round. Poirier was winning the round. And he's really beating McGregor up, and he looked kind of close to a stoppage before Conor snapped his bone. And first of all, why did he snap his bone? It's just like a freak accident? No, it was probably weakened at some point in the fight. It's not like he landed on it in such a way with such force that it should have snapped unless there was already some kind of a hairline fracture or something. Probably occurring from some contact earlier in the fight. But even so, them's the break, so to speak, right? In a way, it was a lucky break for McConnor. A lucky break for Conor, so to speak. Because it's... Look, if Conor doesn't snap his leg, he's done. He just loses. Gets stopped, probably in the first round. Right now, he has something he can complain about. The funny thing is, I think McGregor was fantastic on his way up. Very seldom does a striker beat as many good fighters and great fighters as McGregor did on the way up as a striker primarily. And like he has enormous power in his left hand, his southpaw, left hand is the backhand. And a real interesting boxing style, a lot of natural boxing talent, and big, like, look at the size of the dude's quads. That's where he generates the power. Long levers, arms and legs, big quads, right? Can kick. But he never really had, he was not an accomplished ground game guy. You know, he caught guys, he would get under their skin at press conferences and the promotions leading up, and then he would goad them into leading. They wanted to kill him anyway by the time, right, the fight started. He'd goad them into leading, and then he'd, off his back foot, counter with a lightning quick left hand, usually straight down the pike, hurt him, and then hammer fist him and stop him, right? But he stepped away from the sport at the highest levels for almost a half decade now. And in that time, in the intervening years, his rivals, who he beat on the way up, Max Holloway, Dustin Poirier, have become better, more well-rounded fighters. And Conor has not. So, you know, he's losing that fight as it is. And even, like, why were they on the ground? Is that because Poirier forced it there? In a way, Poirier hurt McGregor. And McGregor kind of initiated the clinch. He's got to know the fight's heading to the ground at that point. and Connor goes for a guillotine. I kind of understand why he did it, right? Like, oh, plan A is not working. Let me at least take a Hail Mary. As Michael Bisping mentioned in the post show. But usually if you're going to do something like that, and I admire that, instead of like, you know, sometimes you see this in boxing, right? A guy's losing a fight and the trainer after 7 or 8 rounds, what they're trying to do is not working, just says, do what you're doing, only harder. Do it better. And it's like, dude, he ain't going to win the way you planned. Go for a knockout. Maybe you lose the fight quicker anyway, but at least you have a chance to win. Connor going for the guillotine, I felt like, was saying the same thing. But if that happened in the third round after, you know, 12 minutes into the fight, that's one thing. That happened like a minute and a half into the fight. He's already looking for a plan B that he doesn't really have. And, of course, loses. He was going to lose anyway. He's getting pounded with elbows, you know, with Poirier on top of him. That's before the leg snapped. Here's Conor McGregor talking to Joe Rogan in the ring right after the fight.
Give us your thoughts on how it was going. I was boxing the blade and head off him, kicking the blade and leg off him. You was well sure he do it to close the distance. This is not over. If we have to take this outside with him, it's all outside. We don't give a bollocks.
He said that he believes that one of the kicks that he checked is what broke your leg.
There was no check. There was not one of them I checked. Your wife is in me DMs, hey, baby.
Connor, you missed with a punch and stepped back. Tell us what you felt. Tell us what you thought was going on.
Just the thing had separated and my blade and landed on the wonky leg like Anderson Silva that time.
Nah, I think it probably was injured earlier in the fight. I think it's highly unlikely that the bone just snapped from stepping back on his leg. And Connor has a huge ego. And it's hard for him to accept this loss, I think, harder than other losses. You know, he's accepted other losses. Well, why has he been gracious in defeat in the past and not now? He had the equity to be gracious in defeat in the past because he had built up enough wins, right? But now what does he do? Now, think about when Connor lost to Nate Diaz. He'd beaten everyone in the UFC he'd faced and then lost to Nate Diaz. And then he beats him in a rematch. And really gutted it out. Like, he looked almost perfect for most of 2 rounds. And then Nate came on, and then in the championship rounds, Connor came on, and he won a fight that could have gone either way. But it was a huge win. That's the most impressive win for me. More than when, like, he blitzed Aldo with one shot or beat an up-and-coming Max Holloway or an up-and-coming Poirier who really wasn't confident or a well-rounded fighter yet. But then after the Diaz fight, he fights Floyd Mayweather, makes tens and tens of millions of dollars, and loses. But, like, that's amazing. He went 10 rounds with Floyd Mayweather in his pro debut. Well, Floyd wasn't in shape. He didn't train. Whatever. Go 10 rounds with Floyd and win some rounds from him in your pro debut. That's unheard of. Connor did it. That was great, but it was a loss. Then he fights Nurmagomedov. Everyone loses to Nurmagomedov. And at the time he fought Floyd and Nurmagomedov, they were 75-0. So if you lose to one of the greatest fighters, boxers of all time in your pro debut and you go 10 rounds and win like half the rounds, that's an amazing accomplishment, but it's a loss. He fought Nurmagomedov tough, but he lost. Then he gets a win against Cowboy Cerrone, who was a very faded fighter at that point, and then loses to Poirier. Every time he lost, he could be gracious. But after then you lose to Poirier and now you lose the rubber match, what do you fall back on? Like, after he lost to Nate Diaz, we'll do it again. And Connor's a warrior. I mean, he moved up in weight class to fight Diaz and then takes an immediate rematch. That's a warrior's mentality. That's a real fighter. And he won the rematch. Losing to Floyd, you can be gracious. I went 10 rounds in my pro debut with Floyd Mayweather. I can really box. He can. He has a lot of talent. And then Nurmagomedov, okay, fine, like a wrestler, he winds up on the ground and Nurmagomedov's undefeated and everything. And then Poirier, the second time they fought, well, they already beaten Poirier, but now in the rubber match, it's like, what does Connor have to fall back on recently where he can be gracious in defeat without kind of admitting, okay, I'm not a top fighter anymore? He can't. In order for him to maintain his position in the minds of even his fans as a top fighter, he can't afford to be gracious in defeat. That's what all the boasting is about right now. Talking about he boxing his head off. No, he wasn't. Connor was once a great fighter, but we've seen this happen with others like Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson went through a phase in his career where he wasn't beating top fighters anymore, but because he was Mike Tyson, you could sell events with him. That's where Conor is right now. I would suggest him fighting a smaller, a shorter striker in his next fight out. Not an immediate rematch, a fourth fight with Poirier, but if his leg heals up, find a smaller striker, because Conor can beat that kind of fighter. And that also gives him time to work on his ground game and training and get rounded out the way Poirier has, because Poirier's continued to face top UFC opposition as Conor's basically been absent. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Tune in for Major League Baseball's Home Run Derby as baseball's best sluggers vie for long ball supremacy. Coverage begins tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, and you can hear what Aaron Rodgers has to say about his future. Football offseason's always wild with all the trades, free agent signings, new coaching hires. Teams have to be excited for the coming season. If you want to hire people that you're really excited about, team up with ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's matching technology finds people with the right experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. To try ZipRecruiter for free, just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Kellerman. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/KELLERMAN, Kellerman. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Get your calls after hearing from Aaron Rodgers, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Yes, the Rodgers saga continues. Remember, a week or so ago, it looked like Aaron Rodgers might not play for the Packers this year. Well, listen to him now and tell me what you think.
One of the most popular players in your sport. Everybody wants to know what your plans are for 2021. What are you going to do?
I'm going to enjoy the hell out of this week, and then I'm going to get back to working out and figure things out in a couple weeks.
Was that audible? Because I had a hard time hearing it. Rog, could you hear what he was saying? Rog, you got to talk on the microphone so people can hear you. Got on? No.
Just a bit, but why don't we put some of the text up for you so you can see?
Yeah. No, I heard. I barely heard it. He said he's going to figure things out in a couple of weeks, but it sounded like I'd be disappointed in Rogers if he did all of this without a plan. You know, you can make the Packers blink. You can make them jump through hoops. You can be the decider, you know, the one who calls the shots. But you have to convince them that you'll sit out, and you have to be willing to sit out. If you're willing to sit out, they'll deal you. If you're not willing to sit out, they won't. Talk about a self-fulfilling prophecy. You can make it come true, Aaron, but you got to be willing to go to the mat. Now, why do I say this? Well, you're the Packers. Just be rational for a second. You're the Packers. Let's say you don't believe in Jordan Love. You need a quarterback right now. You say, well, I'm not letting Aaron Rodgers go. But if he's like, well, I'm not going to play for you right now. Well, but the cap hit will take this year. Let's wait a year. Nope, I'm not playing for you this year. I'll sit it out. You're of a ready-to-win team now. You don't believe in your quarterback. So what would you do? What you would do is look at what Stafford fetched. Goff, a former number one overall, who went to 2 Pro Bowls and a Super Bowl. 2 firsts and a 3rd for Stafford. What would Rodgers fetch? The bidding begins at 3 first-round picks. So if you don't believe in Jordan Love, you will be able to have the draft capital and just basically the resources to go get you at least a decent quarterback and make your team ridiculously good because they're already quite good. What can you do with, like, 3 number ones and maybe a useful player and maybe a 3rd or a 4th-round pick too? Like, well, that's what Rodgers would fetch you. Now, let's say you do believe in Jordan Love. Well, wouldn't you want to surround him with a bunch of high-level players that you can get in the first round in the draft going forward? Either way, you want to get something for him, not nothing. But if the Packers believe Rodgers is just going to fold and won't sit out, then he doesn't have the leverage. Rodgers is going to make his own leverage depending on his own resolve. Depending upon his own resolve. Lou in Manhattan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yo, Max, what's going on, bud?
Go ahead,
I want to talk about this last fight that happened last weekend.
Yep.
We're not paying enough respect to Dustin Poirier. This is a guy who has improved and improved and improved and improved.
Yep.
And we're waiting for the old Conor McGregor to show up. Why are we saying this is the new Dustin Poirier, and what's the ceiling for this guy?
He's been very active against top-flight opposition, and he's been winning except for against one of the best fighters ever, really. He doesn't have a deep resume in the UFC, but he was as good as anyone I've seen in Nurmagomedov. Otherwise, Poirier hasn't lost. You know, it's like even in the main support, Wonderboy Stevenson fought Gilbert Burns. And a lot of people like Wonderboy to win based on the styles, but if you look at Gilbert Burns, all he's been doing is winning the last couple years against good fighters. In the UFC, you got to really look not just at who puts up a good fight, but who's been winning. And then look at the styles, I think. And Poirier has been beating like all the best fighters, except for Nurmagomedov. No big deal about that. Like fighters who lose to Usman or Nurmagomedov or John Jones, all right, no big deal. Everyone loses to those guys. Did you put up a good fight and then have you beaten everyone else? That's yes for Poirier. I don't think as much of his win against McGregor on Saturday night as I think of his first win against McGregor in their rematch or some of his other wins in recent years that are higher quality wins than a win against this version of Conor McGregor. Chris in Chicago, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Chris, you got 20 seconds. Too late for Chris. Chris's call was going to be about changing the PK style for soccer finals. What did I just say, Raj? And in what language did I say it?
Let me translate for it in English.
I'm sorry, Raj. We're out of time. We have to go to commercial break. I'm sorry about that. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. We're going to do it all again coming up. Suns in trouble after dropping game 3?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.